reading from Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 43. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
No one knew what was going on that day. Not the religious leaders, not the Roman officers, not even Jesus' followers fully understood what was happening. No one, that is, except Jesus himself and the man who was dying next to him. To everyone else, Jesus' death didn't make sense. It seemed like this strange contradiction to who he said he was, the king of the Jews, the savior of his people. To the religious leaders who were there in Israel, this was a satisfying end to an infuriating situation. This young man who had undermined their authority with his claim to be the Son of God and embarrassed them over and over again with his radical interpretation of the scriptures was finally going to be silenced. The people would now come back to them for hope and healing instead of flocking to this radical heretic. And his death that they were now witnessing confirmed that he was a fake. If he was truly God, if he had truly saved others, as he claimed, surely he could now save himself from this humiliation. And so they sneered at him. Jesus, forgive us for the times that we too have allowed our pride, our desire to be right, and our desire to control shape the way we see you and the way we think you should act. To the Roman officers, the soldiers, Jesus' death was a joke, a ridiculous joke, because this Jewish man claimed to be king. And to say that there was nothing king-like about him would almost be, that in itself is a ridiculous understatement. First, he was Jewish, with no sign of Roman birth or citizenship. He belonged to the masses in an occupied territory. Compared to Caesar, he was nothing more than a speck of dust. How ridiculous to claim that he was a king. Second, he was weak. I mean, his own people despised him and wanted him crucified. So as a rebel leader, he was a failure. And for a Roman soldier, this was a joke on a long day. And his death confirmed their power, Roman power, over these people. If he was truly king of the Jews, he might have actually caused them some real trouble. What a relief that they wouldn't have to deal with a real rebel leader. And so they mocked him. "If you are truly king of the Jews, why don't you get off that cross and save yourself?" Jesus, forgive us for the times that we too have allowed our power, our prejudice, and our ignorance to shape the way that we see you and the way that we think you should act. To one of the criminals dying next to him, Jesus' death was a brutal insult. if Jesus really was for the people, if he really did heal the blind and forgive the prostitutes, if he really did eat with the tax collectors, then surely this would be the moment to show his benevolent power and save both of their lives. Didn't he forgive people? Instead, in this poor criminal's greatest need, the Savior hung dying next to him. What a useless Messiah. His death, Jesus' death, confirmed God's apathy. With biting sarcasm, this criminal spat, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." Jesus, forgive us for the times we too have allowed the pain that we feel because of our own sin, the pain we feel because of other people's sin, and the pain we feel simply because of the ugly brokenness of our world to shape the way that we see you and the way that we think you should act. But there was one person who didn't see Jesus' death as failure. One person who suddenly grasped what was really going on. And it was the other dying man, the criminal on Jesus' other side. For this man, Jesus' death was the ultimate display of his power to save. It was a power that could even save guilty, dead criminals. And for this man, Jesus' death was somehow the beginning of something, the beginning of his reign as king. And he was right. So how did this man understand when no one else there did? Perhaps because he didn't actually want to be saved off of his own cross. He was guilty, and he knew it. And the shame of living as a guilty man, particularly in that culture, was greater than death. Death at least thrust him into the arms of God instead of people who could be more cruel. But he was also dying. He was suffering. And like all of us when we're suffering, he was in need of someone to be there with him, a friend. And the amazing thing was that he knew that Jesus was powerful, and he could tell, as the guilty can tell, you can tell when someone's innocent. He could tell Jesus was innocent. And yet, he did not save himself. He died alongside the guilty man, keeping him company in his hour of need, sharing in his suffering. Have you ever had someone sit silently with you in grief, not offering even words of encouragement or worse, judgment, but just being with you, crying with you? It's healing. And I imagine that that's what this man experienced as he died next to God himself. Turning to Jesus, he asked, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus turned to him and he said, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in the garden of God." Would you pray with me? Jesus, you surprise us. You do not always act in the ways that we think you should. And you do not always show up in the ways that we think you should. If we had our way, you would have gotten down off that cross and showed your power. But today we lay down our skewed vision of who we think you should be and how we think you should act. And today we ask to see you as you really are. Today we ask that you would give us the eyes of the dying man next to you. Show us by your Spirit where we miss the mark and contribute to the brokenness in our world so that we can confess it and be free. And show us who the Father and Creator is so that when we do sin and when we are in pain, we long to throw ourselves on his mercy instead of fear his judgment. And show us the wounds that you still carry in your hands and your feet so that we know we're not suffering alone. You are with us. and give us a longing to be with you in your kingdom, a longing that is so deep that we would follow in your footsteps, entering the suffering of our world without fear, confronting the darkness with courage, because we know that you have gone ahead of us, and it is finished. Amen.